Well, good morning. And I have, am I on? It says I am, I got a red light. Am I not supposed to have a red light?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Okay. Well, this morning, I'm getting all sorts of one here. Okay. This morning we were blessed with the snow. And yes. Now we have another blessing, which I'm not sure you guys are all aware of. So I'm going to throw it out there. There's a gentleman by the name of Roger Chelberg, who for the last 10 years, at least that I know of, has plowed our lot here. He does not ask to be paid for that. Now, he owns a company which does snow plowing, so he is paying the gentlemen who are here plowing. Okay, we're going to have to switch mics. This is not working. Is this one on? Okay, well, if it's shut it off. Okay. That one was going all over the place this morning. Here, maybe Jesus can help. Whatever. Just pray for the pastor. So anyway, I just throw that out there for you because, like this morning. We had, I pulled in here just a little after 8 this morning, and we hadn't seen a snowplow yet. This was the first snowfall of the year that needed to be plowed. There were a couple of flakes earlier, but nothing that required plowing. And first snowfall of the year turned out to be a fairly decent-sized one and was a little bit so... equipment that was not up to snuff found out, and he actually had 40% of his equipment break down on him, taken out of service. So he's scrambling to get all his paying customers, places like Cub Foods and things like that, who have big parking lots, where he plows. And I called him at 8 o'clock and said, "Hey, we haven't seen anybody yet." And he said, "I will call and have somebody over there right now, but we've been breaking down." So he got some guys here, and they came in, and they cleaned up a good section of our parking lot. I just want you to be in prayer. Eva's praying for people who were snow plowing the streets. Well, we also had the blessing of people snow plowing our parking lot. And, you know, this literally saves us in the range of $2,000 to $5,000 a year. What it would cost to plow out to pay for the plowing for our parking lot on a contractual basis or on a per-time basis is just our parking lot. It would be expensive because it's big. So it's just one of the ways that God blesses us. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you this morning. Something that you can keep in your prayers. Remember he and his family. And I know his mother lives just a little ways in the neighborhood. But as far as I know, he's never attended church here. But for whatever reason, he's picked us to do this for. So we do pay him, but it's in egg rolls. Seriously, every time the Hmong do egg rolls... In wintertime, they do an extra 20 or so, and we give them a bag of egg rolls. We asked him what he wanted. That's what he wanted. So, this morning, we are going to be looking at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the beginning of the Christmas story as Luke saw it was necessary to tell. Now, Luke's Christmas story is different from the other writers of the Gospels, we find that Luke is the only one who tells of the birth of John and all that went on with that. And the details of Gabriel coming and speaking to Mary. We're going to be in Luke right on through Christmas. And we'll see Luke's story. Now, the unique thing about the Gospel of Luke is that Luke, the doctor, was writing to a Gentile. And Luke himself, I'm unsure as to whether or not he was a Gentile, but he was certainly, he was writing, that was his audience. His good friend Theophilus was a Gentile, and we, by and large, are Gentiles. We didn't grow up with Jewish family in history, and we don't know a lot of things. So there were important points that Gentiles took for granted, or that a Gentile would want to hear that maybe not be necessary for the Jews. And one of those things is about the herald of the king, or the king's herald, as I've titled it here. And we see that in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at a couple of different passages. In I want to get my notes. We're going to start with verse 11 of chapter 1. It said, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense, that is Zechariah. And then when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be greater in the sight of the Lord. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. I'm going to jump forward to the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth in her 6th month of pregnancy with John. And this starts with verse 39. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then one more passage, starting with verse 67. It's often referred to as Zechariah's song. After John had been named and Zechariah's tongue had been loosed, this is his response. that his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember the joy, his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide the feet to the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your word ahead to prepare a way for us. Now, Lord, we ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive it and to receive you. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me this morning, that your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak through the power and infilling and overflow of your Holy Spirit, that your people here could be blessed, and that your name lifted up and glorified. Lord, we give you this day, and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us and show us what you have for us in your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I call this the King's Herald. How many of you kind of saying, what's a herald? Anybody? Everybody kind of know what a herald is? Well, I'm going to do a definition anyways. So even if you smarty pants did already know it. Herald. First definition, it's got three parts, A, B, and C. It says, an official at a tournament of arms with duties including the making of announcements and the marshaling of combatants. B, an officer with the status of ambassador acting as an official messenger between leaders, especially in war. And C, an officer of arms or an officer of arms ranking above a pursuivant and below a king of arms. The second definition is an official crier or messenger. The third has three parts, A, B, and C. It says, one that precedes or foreshadows. Be one that conveys news or proclaims, an announcer. And C, one who actively promotes or advocates. Synonym for herald is forerunner, which is all kind of unique. Luke found it necessary to tell the story of the forerunner, the messenger, the announcer, the one who was supposed to come before the king and prepare the way. So this was something that the Gentiles would have had a little bit of an experience with, because heralds were known. They knew what a herald was. A crier, a messenger, was somebody who went, the king is heading out someplace, he's going on a trip. There's a herald. Not a guy named Harold. A herald. H-E-R-A-L-D. Guy who comes ahead and says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we've got a nice Christmas carol. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Yeah, I munched that, but hark the herald. Hark just means listen. Listen to the herald of our newborn King. That's the message. That's what's being talked about here, is there's a herald that goes out and says, the new King is born. When a new King is born, people went out with that message. Why? So people could get ready to celebrate. When a king was going on a trip, the herald went out to prepare the way. When there was an important message that needed to be given, a herald was sent with that message to go to the people and say, this is the message from your king. Listen and pay attention. In all of the different variations of the meaning herald, we see they all have something to do with announcing or giving a message. We even have foreshadowing. How many of you remember what foreshadowing is from your literature class? That's where you're told a little bit ahead of time. If you see what's going on here, it's getting you ready for what's going to happen later in the story. John the Baptist was from prior to his conception, meant to be Jesus' herald. He's the one who's going to go out, and as the angel Gabriel said, who is a herald in his own right, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's John's purpose. That's what Gabriel is telling Zechariah. This is what your son's going to do. He's going to get ready the people to prepare the way of the Lord. And we see again, a similar thing occurs when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Mary walks in. Young gal. Yadda-da-da-da. Hi, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, her older cousin, she's so old, she thought she was past childbearing age, but she's finally having a kid. And in comes a little teeny bopper. And what's her response? Okay, remember, in Jewish society, you don't... favor isn't granted to the little kids, the youngins, especially somebody who's not married. That's not who you respect, but... where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is speaking now through Elizabeth. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, she had no way of knowing any of this aside from the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to her. Except, of course, that she had the herald. And the herald leapt up. And again, it had been prophesied that the herald would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And it seems apparently even before. For he recognized the voice of the mother of the Lord Jesus. Even then, even in the womb, John the Baptist was proclaiming. Lord, well, that's a little extreme, isn't it? It's the way it is. This is what Luke investigated and found to be true. It's not just an old wives' tale. This is what happened. The interesting thing, or one of the interesting things that we have here, is in this story, Zechariah asked the angel, how can you be sure about this? And the angel tells him that, the angel Gabriel tells him, you're not going to be able to talk. Well, what's a herald's job? Talking. Proclaiming. How do you proclaim without your mouth, without your voice? It's very symbolic that we have here Zechariah, upon questioning the herald Gabriel, that he's struck dumb. Not dumb as in nothing upstairs. We're talking dumb as in no voice. Okay, that's what that definition of the word dumb means. Okay, he's struck mute. He can't speak. And he's unable to speak until the birth of the one who brings the good news, that the good news is coming. The herald, John. It shows us how important preparing the way is. Making it ready. Making all ready. Because that's what the herald's supposed to do. He's supposed to convey the information so that the intended recipients get it. What's his information? What did John have? Well, Zechariah says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. John came and said, this is all possible. He said, He's coming. And we see that declaration later when he sees Jesus himself, when he lays eyes upon him. What are we supposed to do with this passage? See, Pastor, this is kind of interesting. Maybe Bible study type material, but is this like preach it, Pat? Pastor, is this something that we can take and apply to our lives? Well, I think we need to take a look at John and say, what did he do? What is he up? We need to listen to the herald, John, as he has imparted to us some important information. The way of salvation. And that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that he's going on before making this proclamation so that when the king shows up, we're all ready for his arrival. Hence we have decorations. It's Christmas. We're getting ready for the arrival. That's why we decorate. If you found out, if you got a phone call from the Secret Service and said, President Bush is going to be showing up at your house for dinner on December 25th, I'm willing to bet you would probably have your carpets cleaned, you'd paint the walls, you'd maybe even get a redone. Whether you liked him or not, to respect the man in the office, you'd clean up stuff. You'd get ready. But here you are. We're not talking about an earthly Lord. We're talking about the Lord of heaven. The Lord of all creation. Don't you think He deserves us to get ready? His arrival isn't something that we shouldn't prepare for? I think it's worth it. We need to prepare. Now, we don't clean ourselves up so that we can get saved. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying is, our Savior is coming. We need to be ready for when He's here. Prepare. Now, in actuality, Jesus comes twice. He comes once into our hearts when we first receive Him as Lord and Savior. He comes a second time as our judge. He comes a second time to remove evil from the face of the earth and to bring the Lord's judgment. Don't you think you should be ready for that? Get ready, prepare. The King is coming. We need to be prepared to receive Him. Whether He's coming just to live in our heart and be with us, or whether He's coming to judge all of mankind, in either scenario, we need to be ready. What is it what we need to do? That's the question. I'm not giving you the answer today. It's not the herald's job to give you the answer. It's the herald's job to lay out the thing and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. You have that knowledge. Live in it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank You that You did indeed send the herald, John, to go before Jesus and proclaim, to prepare us, the world, and us here today, to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and as our coming Judge and King. Lord, might we be ready to receive Him when He comes. Might we be ready to receive Him this Christmas season as we celebrate His coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close.